Don, thank you. You gave us a challenge today. He challenged us to come to an edifying worship. I like words, and I like edifying. And so we worship today together. Thank you for that. And as promised, you get more than one sermon when you come to Mountain Community. I have to tell you, I was inspired. Hadley and Harrison and Kim, you took seriously this last gospel passage, because what you do through your belief is more than what I could do. So thank you for taking that ministry of more than a meal, because it is more than a meal, isn't it? The food's not really what it's about. Jesus said that. Jesus said it's about a relationship, isn't it? And when you risk taking a relationship to another level besides, oh, you poor beggars. When you actually talk to someone, something happens. Something transforms. And since we're in a transforming peace worship series, let's hold that sermon in our minds. Bear with me. I'm not a technologist. I'm trying to get into the 21st century. So we're going to walk together with a PowerPoint. So let's try it. See what happens. Well, nothing's gonna. There it happens. You know, we've been talking about Easter. We've been singing Easter songs. For the first time in my life, I have carried Easter a bit farther than Sunday brunch on Easter morning. And these 5 weeks, we've been walking together down Easter Road, a journey, a way of living. We are going to look at Old and New Testament ways of Easter. The fifth Sunday of Easter, I don't know if you caught it, but in Psalms, we heard 5 words for redemption, which is the New Testament fulfillment of the Old Testament way. So bear with me as I kind of repeat myself. Repeat the gospel and the scripture. So this idea of Easter being more than a day is that it's really a redeeming message of hope. Jesus brought this message before the crucifixion and after the crucifixion. The John passage that Don read is before the crucifixion. It's before the Passover dinner and the Lord's table, and before the torture and the pain and the disaster. It's a foreshadowing, a foretelling. So what's it all about? What's this redemption thing all about? Well, first of all, redeem is the root word in Latin. Redeem is the root of redemption. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. Redeeming experiences happen every day. I don't know about you, but talking to somebody that I judge as worthless and homeless, and find out they actually had a life, and they're actually living on the street and surviving, is a redemption story, isn't it? Is it not? Something new to us. Redemption happens every day. And there are those words for redemption. We use them in church. We use them in our life. We kind of noodle around the idea of redemption, but they have added meaning to faith communities. Redemption is adding meaning here at Mountain Community Mennonite Church. I encourage you to listen to the scripture with new ears. And I urge you today to reclaim some hopeful wonder. You know that innocence? Wonder? Gosh, I just wonder. You know that innocence we used to have and we kind of forgot on the road? Let's reread some of the Old Testament to find these words of redeeming peace. So, Psalms 31, 1 through 5. If I had a clicker, I could do it remotely, but I'm not that smart. So bear with me. The 5-hour way. Don read it. This psalm is to be sung in worship in the temple. It's a worship song. It's got a rhyme and a rhythm to it. So let me just point out some things. On the 5th Sunday of Easter, we have 5 Easter words beginning with the letter R. Words of hope and comfort. Listen to them. House of refuge. Righteousness. Rescue. Rock. That's 4. I want to go back though, because it says a rock of salvation. That's a little bit different than just a rock. A rock of salvation. And then lastly, Redeemer. These are safe words. It's otherworldly, these words. So it brings us to think about something. A strong leader. Right? A fortress guiding us. A victor freeing us from traps set to enslave us. Loving hands holding up a soul spirit. Your soul spirit. Wow. A Lord God of truth. This is childlike wonder. It's in Psalms, in the Old Testament. It's a new psalm for us to sing in gratitude every day that we get gifted from God. Let's change places now a little bit. Let's go to New Testament times. This is Jesus' time. It's a millennia. How long is a millennia? It's a long time, right? How much, Sharon? I think it's 1,000. Good. We've got a Latin scholar here. It is 1,000 years after this psalm was written. Here comes Jesus. So move this temple worship psalm into his way. Rome. The most powerful empire in the world at that time. The Appian Way. Remember your history books? Y'all remember 8th grade history? The Appian Way? It's one example of the most enduring engineering achievements in Jesus' world. The Way was a lifeline of the Roman Empire, and it connected slave states of the empire to Palestine. Palestine was a slave state, by the way. That's what Jesus was born into. If you travel to Europe, you can still walk on parts of the way. 2,300 years later, you can walk on the way. These paved roads, the Romans called them ways, are the sure way to get where you wanted to go if you lived in the Roman Empire. They connected every major city. They were trade routes. They were military routes. They all led back to the heart of the empire, Rome. They were carefully constructed. I had to look this up because I wasn't sure. How do you build something 2,300 years old? How do you make it last? They constructed these roads in five layers. First gravel, then larger stones, then crushed stone, then paved stones, and they put curbs in them to pull the water away. These were roads built to last. Jesus transforms the definition of these landmarks, these hated symbols of Roman oppression that ran right through Jerusalem. He transforms the meaning in this verse that Don read. This verse in John, he crafts the way into a metaphor for our journey to eternity today. Listen closely to his message. If you turn to John 14, you'll catch some of the meaning. We're going to transform now from a road to a way. My passage has three distinct parts. There's two symbols in these three parts holding up Scripture. One symbol, you caught it, it's a symbol of peace and comfort. And the second symbol is the way, a redemption road. First, Jesus talks about home. What an interesting way to start a discussion, isn't it? How do you remember home? Go way back to when you were young. I remember my home as a place where the lights were always on and the smells of fresh baking welcomed me. It is now Jesus reminding us of an invitation. He calls it my Father's house. What a glorious picture. It's more than just a heavenly reward. It's a very real place of celebration and hope. It's what African American churches, my friend Cornelius, Reverend Cornelius, used to say, you know, we're all going home to Jesus. So they had this image, they have this image of a place of welcome, not a city on the hill, not a place where the streets are paved with gold and we'll be rich and there'll be everybody running around, happy again. Jesus says, wait a minute, think about this. It's one home. It's a mansion. It's a mansion of hope. It's my Father's house. That's peace, isn't it? Now let's go to the second symbol. It's a road. Jesus calls it the way. You heard it. The way, truth, and life on this way. It's a redemption road. It's a true path home to my Father's house. Then Thomas speaks up. Thomas, the logical disciple. He doesn't get this. He's puzzled. He says, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? They're looking for this road like the Romans built, right? Thomas is so logical. And then you can almost see Jesus go, shaking his head. Philip, the spiritual one, he chips in. Oh Lord, it says, show us the Father. That's enough. Even Jesus gets tired of repeating himself, doesn't he? I had to check this in the Aramaic version. Your version may be a little bit different. There's Old English from the Greek, and there's an Aramaic translation, the Peshitta, it's called. I had to check that one because I wanted to make sure what Jesus was talking about in his own language, his birth language. Jesus asks a rhetorical question. That is a question he really doesn't want an answer to. My version says, do you not believe I am with the Father and the Father is with me? The words that I speak, I do not speak of myself, but my Father who abides with me does these works. Thomas, Philip, are you listening? Aren't they a lot like us? Well, yes, they are. They're a lot like me. I have to be careful. When I read this, when I talk about this, I have to be careful. I might just miss the upside-down kingdom. I might just miss the kingdom of God. The way of Jesus' announced kingdom is through him to a house of many rooms, a mansion of many rooms. That's what he says. He also says he's prepared a place for us. Jesus says he's not talking about himself here either, but he's bringing us divine words from Lord God, the Jehovah Creator. Jesus says to us, redeem yourself every day. Don't take a chance on this one. Keep faith while I'm gone. And whatever you ask, wherever your soul is, whatever your soul yearns for, ask it. Ask it in my name. Now, the third part of this passage is a little more difficult because it closes the circle. Verse 1, Jesus starts with this. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God and believe in me also. Now he goes to verse 13 and he's closing. He says to his listeners, I am going to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, I will do it for you, so the Father may be glorified through his Son. We're trying to pull Old Testament prophecy and worship into New Testament reality. And it's a blessing to us. Let's try it one more time. Let's end with some words, some simple words of wonder. Let's end with something we can walk away with this week. In the fifth week of Easter, the message is pretty simple. Easter's every day. And the redemption road is as close as asking Christ in prayer to redeem this day. This day. Redeem it for me, God. Redeem it for life-giving good, for light, for peace, for forgiveness. Because there's a promise in here. Jesus says, "My Father's house has many rooms. I've prepared a place for you." Whatever happens in our lives, we're not going to be homeless forever. We're no better than the people that Harrison and Hadley and Kim visit with on a Saturday morning. We're no better. We're homeless here. But there's a promise. There's a God of love waiting for us at the door, at home. We only have to remember our childlike innocence. We only have to keep our faith, a simple faith. And there's more. We travel on a road. It's a way. It's an unfailing way to get back home. All ways lead to God if we walk a while in Christ. That's our peace. We don't need directions. We don't need a roadmap. We need to ask. We need to ask in His holy name. Finally, remember that the way has been the word of redemption throughout Scripture. In Psalms 31, for example, the five R's of redemption are delivered in righteousness, brought to the house of refuge, saved by the redeeming hand of God, the rock of protection in a storm, and a rescuing presence. What will you do this week to find the way? How about starting with a simple act? Ask.